Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Dr. Tim Hayes sent me a text and said he couldn't be with us today, but that he's sending everybody love and holding the space. So today is Friday, June the 12th, 2015, and our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We're honored to be here, honored to have everybody who chooses to join us. Every day that you choose to join us for this conversation about forgiveness and learning that ancient technology is such a big, big key in the process of living a truly human life. We have an easy definition for a human life. Hold a newborn child. You know what that is. And our idea is to restore, support the restoration of human life to every mind, heart, and being on the planet in every circumstance, in every situation. Whether there's an atrocity going on and you speak up with the mind of love, or there's a wonderful situation happening in your life and you're still in that same mind of love. The world has taught us that, you know, well, if you're not getting what you want, all you need is a little hostility, a little bullying, a little, cranking up the energy, and then you'll get what you want. And, you know, the world hasn't taught us very well. Actually, we could take it another step and recognize that most of that teaching came from our power person. And a power person is a person in your life who has more power over your life at some stage in your life than you do. And they were not functioning as love. When we act out of unconscious personal power person dynamics, pardon me, we pretty much limit ourselves to three behaviors. And the three behaviors depend on the level of stress we're under. When there's no stress, notice that what most people do is whatever they did to get along with their power person. And when stress starts to build, they'll shift and they'll start to do whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do what the power person did to them that they hated the most. And often that's basically the dynamic that makes the world go round. And we're here to change that dynamic. We're here to give people the tools to break the link to the hostility and fear-based mind and restore the presence of love to that mind. When there is a situation that the automatic decision system would just kick into hostility or fear. And it makes quite a different life when one lives in that world, quite a different game. There are rules, laws, by which the human mind operates. And they're rules that can't be broken. They're laws that can't be broken. Interesting, we have a concept of law in our culture that it means I have to obey some superior, and if I don't obey the superior, they're going to come after me with a big gun, or they're going to send me to hell, or you know, whatever that threat level is from the insane mind. has nothing to do with the Creator, has nothing to do with true authority, because law is not something that you obey. There are no laws whatsoever to be obeyed. There are no laws that can be broken. Men write rules, call them laws, and you can break those. Gee, the speed limit's 65 and I'm doing 75. I've just, quote unquote, broken a rule, an ordinance. Nothing whatsoever to do with the law. Laws in the ancient Aramaic simply described the way the world works. So there's a law for the human mind. The way you maintain a human mind, you know, they asked Yeshua, well, you know, what's most important? What do you have to do to really truly live this life that you're talking about? The Greeks tell us, he said, love yourself, love the Creator, love your neighbor. But there's nothing that resembles that instruction set in the ancient Aramaic. What there is the expression of the way a human mind works, and that is you must have rachma. Rachma is a word that represents a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that has two functions. It's a gateway for human life to enter, and it's a filter that filters out destructive and negative intentions and allows your mind to only use intentions keyed to love. So it's just it's how the mind works. If you don't follow that rule, that law, the way it works, then you don't have a human life. When hostility or fear raises its head, you notice that you've got someone in your life that you say, I love you, I cherish you, I will honor you forever. And when rachma is set, that's you're right on track, and you just see all sorts of wonderful things about them and how to really be that space of love with them. But notice when hostility or fear raises its ugly head, all of a sudden you can't see what you loved about them. All of a sudden you can't feel that presence of love. What happened? You fell out of harmony with the law, which causes the human mind to operate. And so if you turn that mind on your child or your parent or yourself or your spouse, then you'll end up in difficulty. And it doesn't need to be a big, you know, outrageous turning of the mind towards somebody in hostility. It can just be a quiet, destructive comment that you make about someone. And it'll probably match the kinds of comments your power person made. And you know, if your power person was super critic and always exaggerated their criticism or always off base, and notice that you criticize, and when the stress is up and the chips are down, your criticisms are off base. You do exactly the same thing. It's just the way the mind works. And when something else is fueling the mind, there isn't human life, there isn't choice, and we actually believe the realities that our minds generate based in that hostility and fear game. So we're looking to change that. You know, if I say to you, how does the drill work? Well, you keep it plugged into the wall. There's no violating that law. If I unplug it from the wall, the drill doesn't work. That's all. Human mind works when it's plugged into love. It's not human when it isn't plugged into love. And most people think, I have a human body, therefore I have a human life. Not true. Not true. Everybody was issued one at the beginning. And if you fell into the hostilities and fears of your culture, then much as you might long for and want that human life, it's going to take a significant amount of work to recover it, to get it back into full operation. So we're here to support everybody having a fully operational human mind. That's the idea of the work. And when you can't, the key tool we're offering is the tool of forgiveness. That is, whatever it is in you that comes up in you that disconnects you, or that you use to disconnect yourself from love, from the truth of your being, then you apply forgiveness to that to remove that block and restore you to love. So it's a pretty simple process. Not always easy, but that's the work that we're here to do and to support each person learning, understanding, and applying. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you or in our control panel or listening through this through another means, then if you have a question for us, you can call that number, 646-200-4169, and we'll be delighted to answer your question, or at least do the best we can to do that. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up in the chat room? Anything going on there? Or, a question in the chat room? Or anyone with a hand up in the phone queue?
Nobody has their hand up, and nobody's really saying anything in the chat room either. So if someone presses 1, you're first in line without waiting.
And now's a good time to do it, rather than waiting for the last 5 minutes and not having time to complete your conversation. We would love to hear your voice. You know, if Terry's there, maybe Terry'd share with us how the support group went last night. It'd be fun to hear from Terry about that. And or maybe Rex or Mitzi's there. Could share with us the support group up in Lansing.
No, but I think this is Julie, 541. You're on the air.
Hey there, Miss Julie. How are you, young lady?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm actually pretty stuck in doing a lot of avoidance and things like that.
How does that look like your power person's life?
Oh, my power person's life is always around, either in reflection or, well, not always, or my own inner disturbance, but then when I'm seeing it so much in my reflection, in the reflected world, I think as I'm telling you this, I'm seeing that I see no limit to it and go into overwhelm. I see no limit to the encroachment of the reflection that I see, and I let myself become the effect of it for so many instances, and then I finally reach a place where I just can't take it anymore and I have to do something about it, like maybe a worksheet.
There you go. There you go. Nothing like being up against the wall, right?
Right. And you know, and it's like, and then, yeah, so I guess I'm getting used to the rhythm of exuberance and then, you know, manic depressive, you know, when I could even it out if I just did regular worksheets.
Yeah, there's a fairly easy, systematic way to keep from having to wait for life to slam you or get into that overwhelm. And you're right, there's no limit to it. When you start recognizing you've got 1,000 generations of mind energy in there, there isn't a limit to it. But what you can do is you can forgive. That is, you can apply the forgiveness tool to weaken that until it no longer takes a hold of the frontal lobes of your brain. And when it no longer takes a hold of the frontal lobes of your brain, then the frontal lobes of your brain are available to whatever you want to call the higher mind, the mind of the creator. The ancients call it the mind of Christ. Paul called it that. There were lots of different names for it. And we're available to that mind when we choose to consciously, consistently, persistently disconnect the mind of hostility or fear. And, of course, the easiest way to do that is to, good breath, is to make a commitment to do that and then be true to yourself and keep your commitment. That's the challenging part, to move through one foot at a time. And know that you're not going to be finished tomorrow, nor the next day, nor the next. But you can weaken the impact of those generational patterns until you're finished with them. But if we just let them run us willy-nilly until we get so overwhelmed that we try to get out of the hole, then, you know, it's like a, here I am trying to dig myself out of a 10-foot deep hole, and that's a challenge. And then I get up to the surface, and I go, I'm out of the hole. There we go. And the way to keep from getting down into the hole again is to continuously, consistently, persistently do your work. And then you don't have to dig yourself into that hole and then go through all the stress and strain of, it's overwhelming, here I am.
Go ahead.
But sometimes there's a payoff. You know, when I get buried myself in that hole, I get to tell people how much of a victim I am, and how they're doing it to me, and how I'm doing it to myself. And I get to create my own little organ recital.
And it's my own little world, my own little oasis of my perspective, my reality, and there's no use trying to explain what I think to anybody because they have their reality, and so therefore I'm keeping myself separate and seeing everything as separate instead of that wonderful place of knowing, of being in the living of the oneness, you know. So I hide in the concepts. I'm very quick to conceptualize because I like to. Mm-hmm. I do like to.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to remind myself to, you know, live, which I noticed. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Have you looked at the PowerPoint that your teacher training partner, Bill Costantino, did on the core of the forgiveness process? You spent some time with
that?
Yeah. Good.
I haven't spent time with it, but I've seen it once and played to play it again, but I haven't spent time with it. You mean as in following and doing the actual process?
What a radical concept. What an amazing idea.
See, I saw it as an outline rather than as a tool. I need to see it again. I've only seen it once. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I'm so rude.
No apology needed. I'm just here. There's no rudeness in it. Be careful how you judge yourself. There's no apology needed. There's no rudeness. I promise it's not going to hurt me if you don't look at it, but it will help you if you do. And you might want to make it part of your daily routine, just letting yourself be in that and build the brain cells. And, you know, he did a masterful job of it, and it just reminds and reminds and reminds of the whole forgiveness process. And as you, you know, start to move in that direction, things change, things shift. So you might find that a useful adjunct to your practice of healing. And how's your support group going?
Nobody's coming. I'm the effect of that.
Are you doing that anyway?
No, I gave up. I distract myself. I do listen to DVDs as if I were doing a support group, but it's sporadic. It's not a regular time, and that would probably. I hear the wisdom in that every time Dr. Kim talks about it. So
but that old wisdom stuff, you don't want anything to do with that wisdom stuff, do you?
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You're not doing it. You're ignoring it. Don't tell me you want something to do with it.
Okay, there.
You're just ignoring
good.
It.
That's so good because I just said a few minutes ago, I like intellectualizing. And I'm choosing that instead of doing the work. There it is. So I can learn to let go of a need to intellectualize long enough to also do a worksheet. There you go.
Yeah.
That's a mind shifter.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. You got my support.
Thank you for your support, Michael. Thank you.
The other day you mentioned sending some money to Heartland, and I don't know whether that was, you were thinking, you know, we've talked for a couple of years now about an intensive, but if you were thinking in terms of that, I would suggest that probably the codependence communication intensive would be awesome for you at this stage.
That's what I was thinking, and I'd love to do lots of living too. Michael, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is a good example of how not doing my worksheets prevents me from making a decision or a choice, an actual choice. I've had a goal to sell my house and pay off all my debt and set my life up so that all I do is the work and go to Heartland and get really cleared out this summer, be there the whole summer, spend that money, you know. And it's And then I get disappointed that I've made it, it's a fantasy instead of coming true. And so if I did worksheets, I would probably clear out those energies that confuse my goal and the achieving of it, you know, by whatever doubts and everything, all those energies that come up and interfere with it. And
you're right.
I don't know why I am not doing that.
It's called fear.
Fear.
It's called carbon-based memory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look back, it's probably a power person dynamic. When the stress was up and the chips are down, did your power person procrastinate?
Did my power person progress today? Is that the
procrastinate.
Question?
No, when the stress was up and the chips were down, did they procrastinate?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't think I ever knew how to measure it. And looking back, I don't know. But I do have that, so it must be.
Good chance it was there.
Yeah.
So I do some worksheets on procrastination and commitment and all of the above and just move forward. And we'll hold the space for you.
Oh, good.
All right.
Thank you.
Very cool. All right, keep breathing.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Michael.
All right, we'll
be
in touch. Blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty,
bye-bye.
And we have another caller.
Great.
And
let's say hello.
Area code 212, you're on the air.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Michael. It's Camille Morgan.
Well, hello there, young lady. How are you?
Hi.
Long time no speak.
Oh, I know. I've been so busy helping everybody learn to do the reality management worksheets.
All right. Fabulous.
Having a ball.
It's an awesome process, isn't it, just to watch how people's lives turn around when they use it?
Well, I call it flawless.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing.
But I had shot you an email, I don't know, maybe 10 days ago, because I had an interesting experience that I don't know exactly how to do a forgiveness worksheet on. I don't know if you got the email, though.
I don't believe I did, no.
Okay, and I also, strangely, had trouble. I tried to call a couple of times on the show, and it said I was in the queue, but I never got, picked up. So I'm sure I have to do a forgiveness worksheet then on clear communication.
Okay. So tell us about the circumstance. How can we support you?
My circumstance is that... I had chatted with you when I wasn't able to call on the phone on one of the calls about my experience with nocturia. And Jeannie very wisely said I must be pissed off about something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been diligently doing worksheets on that ever since we had that conversation, which might have been... 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I was going to say a month ago or so, but 6 weeks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm pretty happy with that, but I also reached out to a woman who was an intuitive healer. I liked her website. I liked some dialogue that we had. And so she arranged to do an intuitive healing with me. I thought, well, if I'm overlooking something here, you know, I'm just going to try everything. And
right,
because I have certainly worked with nutrition, with acupuncture, with everything, and this has been going on for 12 years.
Mm.
So I know. The worst part is I'm up and down all night long. I don't have the same experience in the daytime, but all night long. So... I began working, I did a session with this woman where I laid down, and she sent me an email that said, it began by saying, this is why I sent it to you, she began by saying, oh, you're in pretty good shape, which I've always felt like I have been, good energy and everything. I don't even let the symptoms of this nocturia get to me. I stay pretty active all day long. I'm still working, et cetera. And then after that first sentence, she listed brain disease, stomach disease, four, like, major things. They didn't have any, you know, particular diagnostic names, which was fine with me. She's not a doctor. And told me that she could heal it for $20,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought...
There you go.
Really? So I thanked her and told her that I was certainly, that I appreciated her work with me, but that I, you know, this was nothing I could even think about doing. And she said, oh, I'm willing to work with you. And it got down to $1,000. And I said, no, I can't even do that. And because I'm actually working with healing a bankruptcy that our major customer submitted last year. And so, of course, it's pulled our business down a great deal, too. And... she then wrote me back and said, I looked at your website, and you are a rich person posing as a poor person. You will go to hell.
This was your psychic friend?
The intuitive healer that I was communicating with via email.
Oh, my God. Bless her heart.
Well, I'm glad to hear you laugh, because I didn't want to think I was in any kind of denial. She said it was not a usual thing for her to find someone with so many major illnesses. So how would I construct my worksheet according to this reality? Or should I just write it off?
Well, when she... played that out. I mean, that just sounds to me, the reality that stirs in me and paints on the inside of my eyeballs is it's just a scam I'm doing.
Okay.
And so if your perception fits with that, which it sounds like it might, then I'd look at, so if someone's trying to scam you, what comes up for you? How do you feel?
Well, I feel slightly foolish.
Okay, so that would be a worksheet on foolishness.
Okay.
Was it ever a factor in your life with your power person, where your power person would like to embarrass you or, put you in a position where you could easily feel foolish?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, but I imagine if I... got quiet and worked with it, I'd find that.
So I do some worksheets around foolishness. What else comes up?
I guess a lot of it is that I'm my spiritual quest, I'll call it. The most confident, method or the thing that makes me feel most confident is the work that you and Jeannie do. I started it with you in the 80s, and I guess I come back to it again and again, and I guess it's a kind of lack of self-trust that I reached out to this woman in the first place.
Well, and I can certainly understand that I look for support, and if I'm feeling like I'm not getting where I want to go, I'm going to reach out and look.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if there's some lack of self-trust, then I'd be doing some forgiveness around that as well. But is there any particular emotion pointed at this woman?
Well, like you, I just kind of laughed, and I thought, I actually wrote her back, and I said, I said, your response to me, the curse, indicates that, you're on a kind of roller coaster with this process that doesn't appeal to me at all. And that, in fact, while we have built a very beautiful website over the last 10 years, we've never had one order for it from it. And it just fascinated me that, and I told her in the beginning that everyone who sees me and knows me thinks I'm very prosperous and doesn't know the kinds of, you know, ups and downs we have with our business. It's a small business Quiet. That my son and I run. And evidently she forgot that because, I said to her, richness is a state of mind. Yeah. I said, I'm not trying to fool anybody, but seeing the roller coaster that you're on, you know, blessing me with healings one minute and cursing me the next, leads me to trust my own judgment heretofore rather than someone like you.
Yeah, to 2,000%. It sounds, it sounds very manipulative. And if there's no particular, emotion to deal with around it, then I think your other words were to write it off is just a wise thing to do, to just let it go. Obviously, for me, it comes down to obviously being a fraud. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to, tell you you're doing well. By the way, let me threaten you with all these diseases, and I'm your solution. I mean, that's such an old scam. Create a problem, become the solution to the problem, and hold somebody up for money to carry out the solution to the thing that never existed.
Well, you came into the conversation actually very anonymously because she said, I can't heal you for free. And I said, on the contrary, I said, I've been going to see a man who heals crowds of people with his process for a love offering. And I said, you can do the same rather than feeding your need for cash.
Yeah, of course, when it comes to what I do, I don't heal anybody. I do give people tools with which they can heal themselves, but I will never claim to have healed anybody. Not my job, not my business, my thing is to provide tools to people for them to be empowered to do what they need to do to heal themselves. And so,
I do understand that.
Little different process.
I think it was just my language with her that put it in the healing category, but I've always admired and respected your trust that, the money will come for the work you do. And that was all I was trying to convey to her.
Right. Well, I join you in holding her in a blessing because...
Excuse me?
I was saying I would join you in holding her in a blessing. Her karma probably isn't going to be very pleasant the way she's working with people. And so I just move on and do the next piece of work that you have to do around your world and your life.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for everything you've said. I am meeting with two friends I haven't seen in about 3 years this weekend, and in our conversations coming up to this meeting, I've determined that each of them will benefit greatly from going through the worksheet process, reality management, and they've already printed them out and seem to be very eager to get down to the work. So we're going to have a lot of fun this weekend.
Cool.
Yeah.
And someone just sent me a text that suggested someone on the phone that's listening sent a text suggesting perhaps a worksheet on the need to find healing outside yourself.
Oh,
thank
you.
Which sounds like a really good idea. Yeah, I think that's an excellent thought.
Very good. I appreciate it very much. Okay, that does it for me. Thanks again.
All right, blessings. We'll hold you in the space.
Thanks so much.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
So 646-200-4169. If you're on the switchboard, there's several people out there. Press 1. You're next in line. We have 25 minutes.
So put your hand up. You got a question there right there in your mind. I see it. Share it with us. Share your question. Share your thoughts. What's happening in your world? Is Terry with us by any chance today, Jeannie?
Terry, if you're on, hit 1. I don't see his number.
No? Okay. I kind of thought he might be there with the support group to share with us, but I know that his process has been unfolding since he done it. We've communicated a couple times, and the fact that he's done his first new official support group session is pretty awesome. And I think there's another one yet this week with the group down in Flat Rock or Henderson. So if you're in Henderson, North Carolina, you can check our website. There's information there on the support group that's happening, and also on Tuesday nights. Or pardon me, no, Wednesday nights, right?
I'm bringing it up now. I can't remember.
Wednesday night in Asheville, Dr. Rich's office. So,
Asheville is Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. And the one in Hendersonville doesn't start until the 16th. So that's this coming Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And it's from 7 to 8:30. And it's at the Namaste Center in Hendersonville.
Awesome. Very cool. We had an awesome time down there, a great series. We did. We got 10 hours of new video recording done. So we'll have some new DVDs coming out, Dale and I doing Aramaicisms. Two evenings. So we'll have two new DVDs there and a new What is the World DVD. And then we've recorded the Why Is This Happening to Me Again. So we've actually got two recordings of that. And we'll just have to catch up with ourselves and see how we can put that all together. So if you have a question or thought for us, and someone was asking me, I wonder if Michael still does worksheets. Yes, I do. I do, I do, I do. I sometimes do them in my head, and I often do them in writing. Probably not as many as I could do, but it is definitely an ongoing process. And, of course, the beauty of getting to teach it, I get to keep reminding myself and going through the layers. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. And so we invite you to stop texting and carry the conversation on with the show. I need to stay focused on the conversation. So if you have a question for us, call-in number 646-200-4169. And we'll invite you to put your hand up and ask your question, share your thought with us. And as you do that, we'll get to share the insight you have from your process, your questions. You know, you've probably heard me say it before, but one of the most important aspects of the of teaching this work is that I get to engage in everyone else's developed questioning process. And while I get to hear everybody's questions, that leads to an opening for answers. And it's really the questions that are more important than the answers. So I appreciate everybody who does.
We have two hands
go through
up.
Their work. Oh, great. Let's say hello.
Okay. The first one is area code 781. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael and Jeannie. It's Ron in Massachusetts.
Hey there, good sir. How do you be?
I be great. Thank you.
Hear
I have
your
been
voice. What's exciting in your world?
Thank you. My process is going, it seems to me, at a tremendous speed. It feels like I'm moving through a lot, and it's, you know, at times challenging, of course, and exhilarating. And I was, this morning, I went to see our kind of mutual friend, Dr. Ron, to do some energy work, and
cool.
I happen to be listening to somebody who mentioned a line that isn't necessarily a breakthrough line, the beliefs that matter are the beliefs that we live by, not that we think that we have. And
right, yes.
And what occurred to me from that was I kind of raced to my desk to do a mind shifter. And I, instead of the beliefs that I live by, I changed it to the beliefs that I work by are rooted in awe of the amazing love that I am, people are, and God is.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, I've got this heaviness in my chest, and one of the things that came out of it was first that it's a 77 times 7 opportunity for me, and it's also maybe a really great opportunity because I have been wrestling with mind energy around work for a long time, and I'm delighted to have an opportunity to move into a different relationship with work. And I've got glimpses of it, of a different relationship, and made tremendous progress. I found something in as I wrote, and I wrote, and I kept the pen moving for 2 hours interspersed between responding to an email here or a call there. I recalled a Facebook post I saw this morning that really triggered me. I got really righteously angry about it, and I wanted to let the person know that they were blaming everybody and they were not right for blaming everyone, and they weren't going to win anybody over with that kind of hostility. And of course, I'm all righteous. And my goal that I got to in my quick worksheet was I wanted him in his post to express his point of view respectfully and responsibly. And what it triggered for me after that was being a small child and having authority figures and having me relating to authority figures in a way where I received, and I think it was the intent and the delivery as well, but I received, you know, discipline or correction from authority figures as personal attack, you know, as opposed to you are, you know, I mean, just to pick up something like, you know, you're late for the bus, you know. What's wrong with you? You're late for the bus, as opposed to kind of, hey, you know, this is, it's important that we be timely. How can we work together to create that? And it just brought up some very tender stuff for me. So I wanted to share that and maybe receive some support.
Well, you definitely have my support. I hold the space.
Thank you.
Is there specific? Go ahead.
I wish I had a specific question for you. I guess maybe I'll ask it this way. How do I overcome resistance to creating from a place of love in at work?
Well, that's easy. All of the above.
Every tool we teach,
you know. You might read the commitment to your boss. You might do the commitment to yourself in the mirror. You might look at the codependence worksheet, and what would that look like? What would the issues to show up there? What advice do you need to follow? And, of course, forgiveness is always the order of the day. You're an expert at the responsibility communication tool, so that would be...
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you got it.
I had a wonderful fight with my argument with my daughter on the way home. I walked to her school yesterday to walk home with her. And by the way, I am looking at the commitment. I have it posted. This has been a growing. I think I'm really ready to do this piece of work. I have the commitment posted right up over my computer here in the home office, that was about 2 weeks ago. And yesterday, I was walking home with my daughter, and we started to get into a bit of frustration with each other. And I got into about how she's not drinking enough water. And I got all righteous about that. And she I said, all right. And we were walking, and we're a little frustrated. And I said, okay, Grace, how can two people who love each other so much get into such an off-base conversation like we're in now? And I was like, I'm not asking you because I know the answer. I really want to know what you have to say. And then she gave her response, and I got mine. And then as we walked a little further, I said, you know, I think I get it. I think the way it happens is one of us or both of us gets into hostility or fear. And I think for me, I got into fear around I'm not doing my job about having you drink enough water. And then I got angry and I started treating you like a thing instead of like the daughter that I love so much. And I started saying, you've got to do it the way I want you to do it. And I said, that's not partnership. That's not the kind of partnership I want with you. I said,
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
What modeling for your daughter to have that conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And it was just beautiful. By the time we got back to the house, she's got her forehead pressed up against mine, and we're like being really sweet. And we're like, I said, can we maybe look at some ways to educate ourselves and so you can kind of understand what I understand about drinking enough water each day? And she said, yeah. I said, but I want you to do it because you get it, not because because I'm forcing you to do it. And she said, yeah. And so that was, that kind of makes a lot worth it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that a normal thing for you to go forehead to forehead?
No.
No?
No, it was kind of a silly, moment. It was like we were.
Oh, anything but silly.
Yeah.
Anything but silly. That's Rakma to Rakma. That's exactly how the Hawaiians greet each other. I think the Hawaiians are one of the lost tribes of Israel. Their roots are Aramaic. The word aloha is the same as the word Rakma. Filter in the frontal lobes of the brain. And it sounds like, thinking of it as silly, but, did she initiate it? Did you? That you were connecting on that energetic level to reinforce that in each other, which is exactly how the Hawaiians greet each other. It's interesting, the Hawaiians call, the Westerners haulis, which literally means greets without breath. And the Hawaiians, when they met each other, would join forehead to forehead, rakma to rakma, and they'd breathe each other's nasal air. What do the Westerners do? Stick out their hand and greet without breath.
I love that. I lived in Hawaii for a couple of months, and I remember the haoles thing.
Well, that's what it meant. It was greets without breath and doesn't make that connection with the people that they're meeting and communicating with. So whether it was you that initiated it or her, it sounds like there was an intuitive, hey, we need to reconnect on a different level here. It sounds like a great opening.
Oh, it was such a sweet energy to be in.
I got it.
Yeah.
What a transformation. What a way to move instead of propitiation, to getting her to do the right thing for the wrong reason, to open the space for communication, education, and understanding. I mean, that's just, whew. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine how life would be if we all had that when we were that age?
I was talking to my wife last night, and I was saying, I had such great quality time with Grace today. And I said, sometimes our fights are such great quality time. And she goes, yeah, for you, that's how it goes sometimes. and I said, yeah, because we hang in there with each other. We've learned to keep right out of the commitment, to keep communication open, and awesome. That's not an easy trick all the time. But as we're walking, we're both kind of in this mode of, all right, how can we break down this difficult set of emotions? And it was difficult. It wasn't fun, in those moments.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I got into fear. I got into fear because I worried about her not doing that, and then I got hostile. It wasn't rocket science, It just it was the same pattern, but when I'm in it, I'm in it.
What a gift that dad walks to school to walk his daughter home, and then to be able to have that kind of conversation. It's just like leaves me on the verge of tears.
God bless you. Thank you, Michael. Well, it continues. The game continues. I'll let the next person go. I appreciate this call very much.
Hey, I appreciate it. What a great
teaching moment for everybody in the audience, including me. That's awesome. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. All blessings. Right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was awesome.
Ooh. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Our next caller, we're down to about 10 minutes, but our next caller, I think, is Gail, 618. You're on the air.
Hi, it is Gail.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are you? I haven't talked
Hello.
To you in, at least 24 hours.
At least 24 hours. As soon as I heard you say stop texting, I'm like, how did Michael know that I was texting and I needed the call? So it's like I'm in trouble. But anyway, I know that we only have 10 minutes left. And I'm just going to make this really short and sweet. You've known about and you've talked about my process coming home from Dale's retreat.
Right.
I talked about that on the show. And I'm just going to I went to your intensive. I was there for the 20 days intensive. And then 2 weeks later, I went to Dale's retreat. And I did everything extra there. I did an extra session with Kennedy, who did the sound healing. And I did an extra session with August. And I also did an extra session with Dale. And Vitality was very much up. And I spent an extra day there and did extra stuff with Nana. And then when I was coming home on that Monday, I called into the show to talk about Veterans Day. And then between when I got on the other side of Nashville, I started to feel this great energy coming through my body. And I stopped at a hotel and because I was informed that you're not going to make it to the next rest stop. You need to lay down, and you need to lay down for a while. And I talked to you about that, and then the same process basically happened yesterday, too. And it wasn't as intense, but it happened again. And I guess my question for you is something that I had said to you when I was talking to you after it happened a couple weeks ago. I was coming from it, this process happening outside of me coming in. And you were basically saying that it was an inside process. So what is the difference between Ruka versus maybe, you know, talking to spirit guides, talking to angels? What is the difference between that? Or is there a difference?
I wouldn't see there being much of a difference. But if I'm in an energetic process, the energetic process that I'm in, if I'm feeling it and experiencing it is always internal to me, it can certainly be triggered by something outside of me, you know, and I might just put in a quick suggestion. We kind of moved quickly from the first comment that you might want to do a worksheet or two around that first response that you had that you expressed jokingly, but still, you know, oftentimes many a true word spoken in jest, as you said, oh, I'm in trouble. And so I want you to around being in trouble might be a good thing that automatic response disappears from your life. And you know that you're always just cherished and supported as opposed to being in trouble. And when energy starts to move, you know, one of the things to me that I work toward getting to, and I've had periods of my life where it's been with me over an extended time, and that is, and to the point where I named it, and I've named it being at process point. And it sounds like what you went through that when you were making that trip and what you were going through yesterday is that you're opening to process point. And my way of understanding and explaining would be that I get to the point where my veil is open, the barrier is open, and there's sufficient love present that I am continuously processing moving energy that doesn't belong. The kind of energy that usually happens when I do a worksheet and I open the space for a major shift to happen. But that when I'm committed enough to my work and I'm in an ongoing flow, you know, one of the things you're doing is planning to come and be at Heartland for the summer. And I know that for me, when I do an intensive that is extended like that, you know, 68 days, that's one of the times when that happens for me. And I find that after a certain amount of time, there's just, it's like the veil opens and it stays open, and that I'm continuously moving
conscious of it or not conscious, if I slow down and I really pay attention, I'll notice that that's taking place. If I'm, you know, doing my life, I maybe don't notice it so much until I slow down a little bit and go, oh, man, some stuff's moving here. And it's not necessarily conscious. It doesn't need to be conscious. It's just when you get, you know, enough vitality moving and you're in the flow of your work, it's like it kind of goes on a state of automatic pilot and you're moving. And I've had times in my life where it's, you know, maybe been like, it seemed like a year that I'd be in that process continuously. And it sounds like that's what you're approaching. That's what I hear you describing. So that's pretty cool.
Okay. No, it is pretty cool. It's alarming.
Yeah.
At first it's kind of just like, oh, you know, what's happening? And, hey, I'm driving here, guys.
yeah, it's not. No. you do want to take the time off the road when you step into that space. But, you know, the other thing is that you remember when we started the intensive, we start off asking what causes healing? What are the factors? And, you know, we talked about, well, what we're going to do in this intensive is we're going to introduce as many factors as we can. You know, the fresh and raw food, the commitment, the whole process, step by step by step. And, you know, if you imagine the vitality meter that we've talked about, and somebody's at a level 5 vitality and you have a level 7 issue, what's going to cause them to get to a level 7.5 so they can open that level 7 issue and move through it? And, you know, nobody knows for any given individual. You know, one person pops on day 2 of the intensive, one person pops on day 6 of the intensive, one person pops on day 20 of the intensive, and somebody pops 3 weeks later, you know, that they move into and open a big piece of work. And, you know, who knows what all the factors are, but the idea of the intensive is to introduce as many factors as possible to allow that to continue. And, you know, you went from 20-day intensive to Dale's intensive, and you engaged in those factors that strengthen you. And, you know, was it that whole process that put you at a level 7.5 so you can open that level 7? You move through it, things quiet down, and you're continuing to do your work. You're continuing to engage in the factors that create healing, you know, and it's like all of the above. You know, the factor that might shift me over the edge for the next level of what I need to look at might be the fact that I just stood in the mirror and I said the commitment to myself this morning, or I made a deep loving connection with the commitment with Jeannie. Or I was sitting with this sprout salad and you know, the next bite was just like, I could hardly get the fork to my mouth because all of a sudden I realized this is going to take me to the over edge of vitality, and all of a sudden my body's going to go into process, and healing, as we've talked about before, isn't always Dr. Feelgood. And so, or it might just be that I comprehend and I step into a new level of willingness. You know, there's so many different factors that are involved. And the fact that you're continuing to do your work with willingness would tend to create more and more of those situations, which is awesome.
And I think that's what happened with me yesterday. I'm glad you brought up the food, because I was craving broccoli, and I started eating broccoli for breakfast yesterday and kept snacking on it, and that's exactly what happened to me. Probably about the time that I got to talk to you is that it's like, oh, I can't do this anymore, and you need to lay down, and then you called.
Yeah. So then,
yeah.
So probably, you know, with your craving being that, your structure knew exactly what it needed. You listened. That's a factor. Listening. This is what I need. And, you know, what was it in the broccoli? What's the particular nutrient that maybe you were deficient in that you got enough of it that, bang, there goes the next level? And that's awesome. Congratulations. That's fabulous. Nice listening. And we are down to the last few seconds, so I'm going to need to close the show out. But
okay,
good
talking to you.
Fabulous, nice work. All right, blessings. Take care, and everybody, we look forward to hearing from you again on Monday. Join us. Bring a stranger to the show. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, take a look at the schedule at Heartland. It'll start in July, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye bye.
Continue.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.